Earth, sky.
What we expect is that the world will behave itself. As we turn up CO2, the world will get warmer, but we'll sort of know what's coming and we'll be able to make wise decisions in time about whether to slow down the rise in CO2 and stop it or whether to adapt to the changes that come. What we're a little worried about is that we do know from history, from our ice cores and from other records, that occasionally the climate is not well behaved.
You're listening to Richard Alley, a geologist at Penn State and winner of a 2011 Heinz Award. For the past several decades, Alley has been studying ice cores, samples from the accumulation of snow and ice laid down over thousands of years in Greenland and Antarctica. Alley did groundbreaking work in science when he helped extract a 2-mile-long ice core from Greenland in the early 1990s, which shows that Earth's climate changed abruptly in the past. With more of the greenhouse gas CO2 added each year to Earth's atmosphere, Dr. Alley is worried that abrupt climate change could happen again. Alley spoke with Earth Sky's Beth Lebwohl.
Dr. Alley, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
So you helped enhance scientists' understanding of climate change by suggesting that it could happen quickly rather than slowly. Tell us more.
Yeah, our community has been looking at how fast climate could change. And a lot of what we do is to look at the history of climate. If it happened, it might happen again. And so I was part of big projects that have gone to Greenland and Antarctica to look at ice cores. Snow on the big ice sheets piles up summer, winter, summer, winter, summer, winter. And in the snow are indications of how much fell, how dirty the air was, what cosmic rays were coming down, and how much space dust and other things like that, and indications of temperature. When we look at those histories, what we find is that usually the climate has been well behaved. If you give it a little more sun or a little more CO2, it gets a little warmer. Occasionally, though, you give it a little more something, and something really weird happens. The climate will jump to a new state in as little as a few years.
Some of your landmark scientific work about abrupt climate change was based on data you acquired from a 2-mile-long ice core pulled from Greenland in the 1990s. So tell us about that.
We can actually count down through the years of history, and we start at the present and start going back. In that snow, there are indications of how much it was accumulating at a time, what the temperature was in Greenland, how much dust was blowing through the air, and a number of other things. And so a whole bunch of us counted back through history, and we got more than 10,000 years back without seeing very large or very fast changes. And then we hit sort of a cliff. And in a very few years, maybe 10, maybe fewer, we see change in everything that was measured in the core, and very large changes. Temperature changes in Greenland were 15 degrees Fahrenheit or more. Snowfall changed by a factor of 2. Dust in the air changed, and a number of other things changed as well.
Okay, so when was that? What caused it? And how does that apply to today? How did it revise, let's say, climate change theory?
Yes, so it was about 11,500 years ago that this really big change happened, and then there were many more similar ones older than that. It was linked to changes in the way that the ocean circulated and changes in sea ice, whether the ocean froze in the winter around Greenland or not. It's something that we're watching carefully for the future. We don't think it's going to happen in the future, but we're not positive. If we melt a lot of Greenland's ice fairly fast, it will make the North Atlantic fresher because of the fresh water coming off Greenland, and that may influence the way the ocean circulates, and that in turn could have large and abrupt changes.
Okay, and of course we're talking about Greenland's ice sheet, which could melt as a consequence of global warming. Is that correct?
That is correct. So Greenland has enough ice on it that if it all melted from warming, it would raise the sea level around the world an average of about 23 feet.
I think the one thing that's unclear to me is best case scenario versus worst case scenario with regard to climate. What would climate look like if it got real bad because of the way because of what we're doing to Earth, and what would it look like if it just sort of behaved itself?
Right. So worst case scenarios would be things such as changing ocean circulation in a way that made it dry in the monsoon belts in places where a couple of billion people are expecting on the rain to water their crops. We know these abrupt changes in the North Atlantic were accompanied by drought in monsoonal regions. And so if we were to trigger something in the North Atlantic, it might in turn trigger changes in the monsoon. We're fairly confident that the Antarctic and Greenland ice sheets will stay where they are and melt fairly slowly. But if we were to dump an ice sheet in the ocean rapidly, you could have very rapid sea level rise. We don't expect any of those, but they are the sort of drunk drivers in the climate system that we can't totally exclude the possibility that they would happen.
Given that we need to have some insurance against the possibility of a very abrupt and severe climate change, what does that insurance look like?
Less emissions of carbon dioxide, basically. So try not to change the climate as rapidly would be one way to buy insurance. The other thing you look at is trying to build society to be a little more flexible, a little more resilient. If you're planning how high to build the wall around the city to keep the flood out, maybe you build it a little higher just in case. If you're planning to what area is likely to be flooded or hit droughts or so on, you put a little cushion in the way you do things so that if things turn out to be a little worse than we expected in the future, we have some ability to deal with it.
Is it naive to be optimistic about Earth's future? And also, what's the most important thing you'd like to tell Earth Sky's global audience about climate change?
It is not naive to be optimistic about the future. The amount of energy that you use to run you and your brain and all your thinking is about the same as the amount of energy that's used by an old 100-watt Edison light bulb burning continuously. If we put our brain power to work, what we need is supplied by the planet. It's just a matter of getting what we want out of what we use. We can do this. We can make this energy. We can make sustainability. We can grow the food. We can make sure that people's kids survive. We can make sure that people have something good to do. We can reach a sustainable future.
You've been listening to Richard Alley, a geologist at Penn State and winner of a 2011 Heinz Award. For this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.